I'm here to preach the word. Because God has given me the opportunity to preach. The title of my message is Put Your Time In. And we're going to talk about relationships. If something is important to you, don't you put your time into it? For example, many of us here, we have jobs. We clock in and clock out because we need to pay the bills. Some of us here are students, high school students, college students. We put our time in studying because we need to get a job. And it affords us opportunities that we wouldn't otherwise have. Some of us, particularly as men, we like our sports. We watch football and basketball, and there's a little thing going on right now called the World Cup. It's amazing. Every 4 years, the rest of the world just stops what they're doing to watch some soccer games or football games. Excuse me. Right. But we're not here to talk about sports or job or school. We are here to talk about things that really matter. And one of those things is relationships. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Now, to set this up, Jesus was debating with a group called the Sadducees. The Sadducees do not believe in, or did not believe in, the afterlife. They didn't believe in war. They didn't believe in heaven. And so they gave Jesus this ridiculous scenario where this woman married this man, and the man died, and according to the law, she had to marry his brother. And it repeated itself like that. And so finally the woman dies. There's like seven guys and her in heaven, and they ask Jesus, so which one of these guys is that woman's wife? And Jesus said, you guys don't know what you're talking about because you don't know the scriptures. Well, people were paying attention to this debate, and one guy in particular was really impressed by how Jesus handled that. And that's where we're going to start, in verse 28 of Mark chapter 12. It says, one of the scribes approached. When he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, which command is the most important of all? Isn't that what we want to know, right? We live in an age that communicates in 140 characters or less, right? We live in an age that has an executive summary. Why? Because the executives don't have time to read the whole thing, right? We live in an age where on the internet, there's something that's called TLDR. That's short for too long, didn't read. Because they don't want to read the pages long post that you put up. They want to get to the bottom line. Well, as it turns out, human nature has pretty much always been that way. So what's most important? That's what the scribe wanted to know. He was curious. Fortunately for us, Jesus did not leave him hanging. Let's continue reading. This is the most important, Jesus answered. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. So how does Jesus respond to the scribe? He quotes scripture. He quotes Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19. When it's all said and done, all these things that we do is because we love God and we love people. And I'm going to break that down. We have to put our time in our relationship with God. We have to nurture that. Now, love is a feeling. We know that's a feeling. But love is also a commitment. And, you know, love is a relationship. And in relationships, you have to put in quality time, but you also have to put in quantity time, right? And so how do we have a relationship with God? It's not that much different in a lot of ways than having a relationship with a human being. For example, we need to listen to God. How do we do that? Well, he's provided us with his word. We study it with intent. We study it because we love him. We study it just to hear his message and to see what he wants to speak to us. Sometimes he will speak to us through life circumstances. He will discipline us, right? I mean, because sometimes we just do knuckleheaded things, and we just need to learn our lessons. And sometimes he'll speak through situations and give us a big kiss on the cheek because he loves us so much, right? We also need to speak to him. And one of the ways that we do that, of course, is prayer. We spend time talking to him. He's the creator of the universe, king of the universe. And we should recognize that for sure. But he's also, amazingly, our dad, our papa. That means that he wants to have an intimate relationship with us. It's amazing. I mean, I don't fully understand how he can be both king and daddy at the same time, but that's not for me to fully understand. It's just for me to take at face value and just worship him that way. Another way that we actually talk to him is through song. We did a lot of that this morning. I mean, whether we liked all the songs that we sang this morning or not, the words still mean something. And it's our way of communicating with him. I have to tell you a little story. Back in my college days, there was a friend of mine that I was in a one-on-one relationship with. And we would go and pray. But every time he would want to pray, he would want to sing first. Now, the unfair thing is this guy was a music major at the University of Michigan. And I was an engineer. I mean, I can sing, you know. But he was a music major. And he always wanted to sing. And I was like, dude, why do we need to sing? I want to, let's get to it. Let's pray. But the funny thing is, I find myself doing that now. So, we sing to him, right? And obviously, when we serve our brothers and sisters, it's as if we're serving him. Now, here's the funny thing about relationships. Sometimes they get hard. Sometimes, we have challenges. There are things that happen that we don't understand. And it's like we ask God why. We get angry with him. We get frustrated with him. Now, some of that may be because we don't give all our hearts to him. And that's another thing, that our God is a jealous God. He wants our 100% attention in this world of many, many distractions. But sometimes we really get mad at him. And we don't deal with it. I know that some of you this morning may be feeling that way, whether you actually realize it or not. I want to share something with you from my life where I didn't realize how angry I was at God. See, I lost my dad when I was 17. I was a senior in high school. It was actually the week of Thanksgiving. And he died of sudden cardiac arrest, massive heart attack. And that was tough. That was tough because even though I loved my dad, I felt like, there was some harshness in the relationship. But the dynamic was changing to something that I really, truly desired. I wanted him to be my best friend and my counselor. I wanted him to see, me get married, see me graduate from college, hold his grandchildren. I wanted all of that. And just in a blink of a moment like that, he was gone. And I didn't realize it, but I held that against God for over 20 years. Think about that. That's two decades. The amazing thing is, in that time, I actually became a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he's blessed my life abundantly, but I was still angry at him. That shows me just how much grace God has. Amen. Well, finally, through the help of friends, I confronted this issue. I remember I was living by myself at the time, but for some reason, I decided to hide in my bedroom closet like somebody was going to hear me, right? But I don't know how long I was in there, but let me tell you something. I had never raised my voice at God in my life because I thought it was disrespectful. However, God can take it. Now, I mean, there are lines that we still can't cross. But the thing is that, like, I got all the anger out. I was so mad, but I got it out. And when I was done, I felt like a different person. I felt more connected to God than I had ever felt before. And this is amazing considering the fact that, like I said before, I feel like he's blessed me in many, many ways up to this point. You know, the philosopher Epicurus said, you don't develop courage by being happy in your relationships every day. You develop it by surviving difficult times and challenging adversity. Amen. Now, the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. You have to put your time in with your family. Now, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I love my family, but there's something that I like to avoid, and that's the D word, drama. So let me be real here. I'm from New Orleans, right? All the schools that I applied to were out of state. The University of Michigan, where I eventually went to school, is about as far north in the United States as I could possibly get. And part of the reason for that, or so I thought at the time, was that it was like, if I stay close to here, I'll never finish school. But as God would have it, that was part of God's plan. Because that's where I found him 3 years later. But the Bible speaks on how important it is to put our time in with our family. Now, in 1 Timothy 5, it says that if you don't provide for your relatives, especially those in your own household, you are worse than an unbeliever. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on that side when Judgment Day comes, right? We also need to put our time in, speaking of family, with the family of Christ, the body of believers. In Galatians 6:9-10 is one of my favorite verses. It says, do not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. And this is what's really important. Especially to those in the family of believers. Especially. Your relationships in the body of Christ are special. They take priority. We have to remember that. We have to serve one another. We have to lift one another up, right? We have to bear with one another's burdens. And sometimes we don't feel like it because we're tired, right? And sometimes, let's be honest, we can ask the question, when are my needs going to get met? But the truth of the matter is, if you're meeting somebody's needs and they're meeting somebody's needs, eventually guess what's going to happen? It's going to come back around to you. It's God's plan. We have to remember that. We also, finally, we need to put our time in with the relationships with those who are outside of the grace of God, the lost. When Jesus came down here, he said that he came to seek and save the lost. And we're to imitate Jesus. So we're supposed to have that heart, right? When Jesus looked at people, he looked at the crowds, he saw sheep. He saw sheep without a shepherd. He saw sheep harassed and helpless. Do you look at people that you work around that way? Do you look at your classmates that way? How about the people at the gym? You know, or the people in the shopping mall or wherever you go? There are 7 billion people on this planet and growing. Now, there aren't 7 billion people in Gwinnett County. However, there are a lot. And most importantly, there are people that you live around and you work around that others of us will never get the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. What are you going to do about that? And all these things I'm sharing here, I'm preaching here, I studied this out myself. I'm preaching to myself. Because I can get focused on, you know, my tasks, doing what I need to do. And, you know, I can forget about this stuff sometimes. I'm just being honest with you. It's hard. It's not easy. But these things are certainly worth it, right? Let's continue reading. Then the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have correctly said that he is one, and there is no one else except him. and to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is far more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to question him any longer. Here, the scribe responds to Jesus, and he makes a very important point, is that what is your motivation for doing these things? He says, no matter how much you sacrifice, no matter how many burnt offerings you do, what matters is your love for people. What matters is your love for God. We can't forget that. Because first of all, I mean, the only reason why we love God is because he loved us first. We wouldn't even have this opportunity without him loving us. And it's absolutely amazing. We can't do anything to earn our salvation. But we do things because we are grateful for what God has given us. And it's the same with the people in our lives. We don't do these things to earn their love. We do these things, or we should do these things, because they love us already. Amen? So we have to remember that when it's all said and done, that we need to put our time in our relationship with God. We need to put our time in with our family. We need to put our time in the body of Christ, and we need to put our time in with the lost. Thank you. To God be the glory. And now Tommy will take us home.
Good morning, church. My name is Tommy Underwood. And Ron, you did a great job just sharing about putting our time in. Amen. You got to do that. Amen. You know, I love this brother, John Becker. You know, he came to me and said, "Bro, you're going to preach the word on Sunday." And I said, "Wait a minute. I'm a singer. I'm not a preacher." But amen, as God would have it, I'm here today just to share the word of God with you, amen. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for that, just to be able to serve by sharing the word of God this morning. If you haven't noticed, I'm a black man. And, you know, I'm from Detroit. And, you know, my parents and family, they migrated from the South, and so they to Detroit, up north. And I was raised in an all-black Baptist church. And, you know, what's interesting about a black Baptist church is that they sing with all of their heart, you know. And one Sunday, I was sitting in church, and they sang a song. And the song, it was just simple words. You know, it said, "Payday is coming after a while. Put your time in." And that's what it was. And the chorus was so amazing. And it went something like this. "Payday is coming after a while. Payday is coming after a while. Payday is coming after a while. Payday is coming after a while. Put your time in." And that was just amazing to me. I mean, when the harmony came together, it still resonates with me today. And I was just so taken aback by that song. And it's so incredible that that's what we're talking about today, amen. Put your time in, because you know what? One day, payday is coming after a while, amen. I'm going to read something to you. As of June 2nd, 2014, according to an economic research, 57% of Americans still feel the long-term damage caused by the Great Recession. The economy is still operating well below its capacity. Economic growth has been weak, and jobs are scarce. Long-term unemployment is still a national crisis. Church, this world is messed up. Amen. Nothing's promised. You know, we could have a job today, and tomorrow could be taken away from us. Amen. Man will disappoint, but God is not like man that he would lie. God is not unjust. He will do what he promised. If we hold to our good confession, that Jesus is Lord. Amen? Amen. What am I saying? John 6:27, you don't have to turn there. It says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures into eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Church, we've got to keep our minds on things above. Amen? And not on earthly things. Colossians 3:2. That's a simple principle that a while back that I really didn't hold to. And not proud of that. I'm not proud of that at all. It led to a failed marriage and the loss of my job all in the same year. I wasn't looking at things above. I was more concentrated on what I wanted to do. And I didn't present my wife radiant before God. I wasn't thinking about making sure that we had a godly marriage. And I lost that marriage. So I focused myself on, well, I still have my job. I put all my time into my job because, after all, I'd been there for 18 years. I was like, you know, I'm going to retire from this job. I mean, I haven't filled out an application since I was 22. So in my mind, you know, I'm just going to focus on my job. Nothing is going to come before my job. Not my friends, not church. That job was my God. And so God took it away from me, amen? He did. So it left me, all of that left me feeling very angry. And that anger turned to bitterness, and that bitterness turned to loneliness and full of guilt. And as real as those feelings are, it wasn't until I humbled myself before God and accepted the help from our leadership, you know, our elders, one in particular that actually took me by the arm and dragged me into his home, into his life. He has a family. He has kids. He has a job. But he took me and said, hey, we're going to fix this. We're going to fix this together. I'm so eternally grateful for Steve Galbraith. I'm eternally grateful for this brother. You know, Galatians 6 says, God cannot be mocked. He cannot be mocked. Do not be deceived. A man will reap what he sows. Amen? And if you sow in destruction, that's the reward that you're going to receive. That's a promise. But I do have a scripture, amen? Let's turn to Hebrews. Chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 10 through 12. It says, for God is not unjust. God is not unjust as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish or imitators, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. You know, we all understand the concept of getting paid for a day's work, amen? I mean, you see, God actually established the idea that there is a reward for your labor. I mean, if you plant something and you water it, cultivate it, it will grow. You know, you prune it, do everything, it will produce fruit, amen? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's tedious, long hours. Sometimes it's downright dirty, amen? But, you know, that's work. If it was easy, it wouldn't be called work. You know, I appreciate Richard and Sarah and our elders, you know. They do what they do not because, you know, they want to be seen, not because they must, but because they're willing shepherds, amen? And they're eager to serve and be examples to the flock. Amen. But 1 Peter 5 says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. Amen. I am so excited about that. You know, and I want that for me. I want that for all of us because we all serve. We all are examples. We want to be examples in some kind of way. Amen. But why do we work? Why do we, some of us get up day after day? You know, some of us get into traffic and just to go to a job day after day. Why do we do that? I would imagine most of us, we do that because, you know, we want to support ourselves and we want to support our family. And that's an awesome purpose, you know. But how would you feel if you worked but didn't get paid? Not good, right? But, you know, how would you feel if you worked tireless long hours and it's still not enough pay? You know, I mean, I would imagine some of us would feel very worthless, you know, maybe have to get a second job. It's not a good thing, you know, but let's look at what God promises to give us. Amen. Now, I want to speak to my single brothers and sisters. Okay. Jeremiah 29:11-14, it says, God promises to prosper us. You know, God promises to prosper us. He wants great things for us, brothers and sisters. You know, to give us hope. You know, some of us, you know, we feel a little hopeless. You know, maybe we've been single for a long time, you know, and we need some hope. God promises to give us hope, amen, and a future. He promises to bring us back from captivity. But this is the real reward. He promises us to deliver us from our sins, amen? But that's the reward for our repentance. But it requires work. It requires a lot of work, you know? What do I mean? When was the last time, and I'm talking to my single brothers and sisters, when was the last time that you confessed your sins to one another? You know what I mean? When was the last time you actually did something really radical in keeping with your repentance? You know what I mean? When was the last time you actually challenged one another with what the Bible says? These kind of things are very hard to do. It requires a lot of work. And like my brother Ron says, you know, you got to put your time into that. You gotta love one another with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind, and all of strength. If you don't do that, it will not happen. It just won't happen. We will not put that time in, amen? To my little boys and girls out here. Ephesians 6:1-4, it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment and promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, there was something my mom said to me when I was very young. When I disobeyed her, she said, boy, I brought you in this world. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I'll take you out. So not only do I want things to go well with me, but I also want to see my next birthday, amen. Amen. Now to my married brothers and sisters, Ephesians 6 also says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Believe me, it will go well with you too, amen. And to the church, to the disciples, God tells us to go into all the nations, Matthew 28, baptizing disciples and teaching them to obey his commands. And he will be with us, church. That's our reward for our obedience to God. He will be with us always. That's a promise. And that's awesome. You know, there is a reward, a final reward, to those that overcome, amen. I want us to read in Revelations chapter 21. Let's turn there. Chapter 21, verse 1-7. Revelations 21, 1 through 7. It says this, "Then I saw a new Jerusalem, a new earth and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things have passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost. For everyone who inherits, from the spring of the water of life. For he who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" That is amazing. And I am so looking forward to that day when I get to receive that reward. How about you, amen? Amen. Amen. You know what? My job knows when I put time in, because I clock in and I clock out. I do. I clock in and I clock out. Now, some of you may not, you know, can relate to that, because some of you are salary. That's okay. I don't have it like that, you know. But, you know, that's what I do. I clock in and I clock out. And so they know, you know, that's my compensation for my work. But you know what? One of these days, we're going to leave this place. One of these days, we're going to die. And the Bible says that books will be opened. And I don't know about you, but I want my name written in the book of life. Believe me, God knows the time that you've put in. Those books will be open. God knows the time that you put in. But I want my name to be written on the book of life. Amen. There's, you know, we're all into sports, most of us. And there are some sports sayings that really kind of resonates with me. And I'm going to read a couple to you. It says, one of them says, "You got to be in it to win it." You guys know that one. What does it mean? It's like, you know, you got to be in the sport. You got to be in the game. You can't receive a reward if you don't play the game. Amen? You got to be in it to win it. Another one, "The harder you work, the harder it is to surrender." Think about that. Church, we can't be idled. When we're idled, we give in to Satan, amen? So let's be busy about God's work. Let's be busy loving one another. I love this one. It says, "You never know how strong you are until being strong is your only option." Church, we don't have any other option. We have no other option but to do what's right and go to heaven. Amen? Amen. Finally, church, we've got to put our time in, right? We got to put our time into one another. We got to put our time in our families. We got to put our time in the church body and to non-believers. We got to do this with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And we do that, when we put our time in, church, payday is coming after a while. Amen? Thank you. Amen.
That was awesome. You guys encouraged? You should be. These guys did a great job. Let's give them another hand. I have a quick announcement before we pray. On this Thursday, we're all going to be in the sanctuary. There's no kids' classes. We're going to be having a singing devotional all together. So come with your singing voices ready. And if you're like me, just do your best. You know what I'm saying? So, I hope you guys are ready to have a great picnic together, have a great time. I see Annette over there. good luck. Let's have a great time together. Let's have a great time of fellowship. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are incredible. Thank you so much for allowing us and inspiring us to put our time in, Father, because we know that payday is coming. Father, the checks that we receive on a weekly or biweekly basis are nothing in comparison to heaven. And Father, we work hard because heaven will be an incredible place. Father, it will be incredible just because you're going to be there, and we want to see your face. We thank you so much, Father, for building up the singles and the singles ministry. Thank you so much for men who are willing to work hard to preach your word. Father, it's not easy. Sometimes men make it look easy. It's not easy, God. And these guys have worked hard for weeks to prepare. But, Father, it is all to your glory. We thank you so much for just you, for everything that you do for us. We ask you for a great time, that no one will be hurt today, that no one will be burned by the sun, that we will just enjoy this time of fellowship together. Father, be with us. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys are dismissed.